This is The Spot, a BYU-Idaho production where we talk about what you're talking about at BYU-Idaho. Today's hosts are David Payne, J.D. Packer, and special guest Johan Sanchez. The views and opinions of this podcast are not that of BYU-Idaho Radio or the university and are solely the opinions of the hosts.
You're listening to The Spot. I'm David Payne.
And I'm J.D. Packer.
And today we're talking all about the World Cup. That kind of sounds like cheering fans, but that's just J.D. breathing.
Da, 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 da.
So, it's been great. It's been crazy. It's been going on for a few weeks. So today we're going to talk about what we've seen, what we've liked, what we've not liked, who we think's going to win it all. Later, we're going to talk to Johan Sanchez. He's going to be our special guest. He used to work here at the station. He graduated last year. He actually had a chance to go to Russia and watch some of the matches.
That'd be insane.
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
I can't imagine that either. I'd be a little scared for my life.
He sent some videos.
Really?
And it was pretty intense. So we'll talk to him later about his experience there. But first, what are your thoughts? How have you liked the World Cup so far?
Oh, just gut-wrenching. So I served my mission in England. So I've been following England. And for those of you who haven't been following the World Cup, England just lost last night. Or yesterday. I was last night for them. But anyways, so they lost yesterday in a devastating fashion. They lost in overtime. And they scored. It was just a bad play overall. But anyways.
It was a great game.
Yeah, it was okay.
For Croatia.
I just thought, I don't know, Croatia. Okay, this is my mini rant.
Let's hear it.
I like the World Cup. The thing about it here on campus is that America is not in the World Cup, you know? And anybody who served their mission somewhere is wearing jerseys and they're yelling and they're screaming at the crossroads. And I was so mad at those fans because I'm like, listen, none of you are actually from said country. I won't say which country because I don't want to offend anybody. But I said, listen, you're not from said country. Why are you going nuts? You should be wearing American jerseys. Anyways, I turned into that fan yesterday that I hate because I was going nuts for England. I was at class, hurry and got out to watch the last like 20 minutes of the game.
So did you go to the crossroads to watch?
I did, yeah.
I was there as well.
Yeah, it was.
It was pretty packed.
It was. And everyone was cheering for Croatia. I was
I think by the time you got there, they were.
Oh, my days. It was unbelievable.
Because there was only a few people cheering for Croatia when they scored their first goal. But then in the end, they were just like,
they were going nuts.
As well go for Croatia.
It was so frustrating. Anyways, but the World Cup's been super fun. I've watched a ton of games.
How many do you think you've seen?
Let me think. I watched 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, in some of the qualifiers, I'd probably say around 30.
Yeah, I think I'm probably around there too.
30, 40.
20, 30.
Yeah, I watched a lot.
Yeah, they're so much fun to watch. Team, I mean, other than England for you, what team has kind of impressed you or did you enjoy watching most?
So I was cheering for Sweden. That was my other team I was cheering for. And you're probably like, why? That's random.
Yeah, why? That's random.
So cool story. This is my favorite story about the World Cup. So Sweden, when they played, it might have been Croatia. Hold on, let me think. I don't want to botch this.
You could look it up if you want.
Okay, I got it. You ready?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay, sorry. I lied. It wasn't Sweden. It was Switzerland. I knew it was one of those teams that I was like excited for. So anyways, my favorite story in the World Cup of a team that I was like started cheering for was Switzerland, and that's because there was three players that are playing for Switzerland that made a symbol or a gesture when they celebrated. Now, I know you're thinking it's a bad gesture. They did a gesture that was representing an eagle, which was the symbol of their flag because they were playing against Serbia. Now, the story is, I guess, is that the country that they're from, Serbia does not recognize them their country as a national country.
Wow.
And so to them, it was a huge deal because they're playing against this country that like they've been oppressed from. And so they have like, you know, this beef with this country. And so when they scored these goals to go on and to beat Serbia, they threw up these signs. And so what was crazy is that they're from, their heritage is, I don't know how to say it, Kosovo. It's a former Serbian province that declared independence in 2008. But Serbia didn't, like, declare it. So anyways, I saw this on the news.
That's awesome.
Pretty cool. Yeah, like, here's these guys representing their country or whatever. So they get fined, right? FIFA fines them, like, crazy amount of money. $10,000 is what it would be for American money because they use...
Holy cow, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, Swiss francs over there. But, like, to get fined just for doing that after. So I guess the country was like, don't worry, we'll pay for it. Oh, which for I think sure. is cool. You know what I'm saying? Like,
totally worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have that kind of money to give, and I would love to have that kind of money to give. But in that moment, it's like, I don't even care about money. Like, this is just my chance to show that my country is an actual country.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
It was cool. It was a cool story. So that was, I was cheering for them. I was cheering. Yeah, mostly England. I'm not going to lie to you.
Why? Because I specifically remember you bagging on certain fans.
Yes.
Who gather in the crossroads. I was in the crossroads quite often.
Now listen, if you're from that country, I got no problem with it. I know that sounds so bad.
But you ended up turning into that fan.
I know.
So
I just wanted them to be like the rest of me where they sit at their home at their apartment.
And just watch in silence.
Yeah, or well, they can do whatever they want there. They're just not, as long as I'm not there. You know what I'm saying?
So for me, I served my mission in the West Indies mission. And so Trinidad and Tobago is the only country in my mission who actually has a team that could qualify. They didn't qualify. So I didn't get to watch them, but they're the ones that actually knocked out...
USA.
Yeah, the United States. So in the moment, it was like, oh, that's so great. Congratulations, Trinidad and Tobago. I'm so excited. But then come, you know, the World Cup time, I don't get to watch either of the countries that I'm from or the one that I served in. So it's kind of been a bummer. But one of my younger brothers served in Argentina, and he just got back a few months ago.
Uh-huh.
And so... He bought us all Argentina jerseys while he was down there.
Nice.
So, you know, we were wearing those at the crossroads. We were that, you know, that fan that you hate.
Yes.
But
hate's a strong word.
Or that you dislike. That
yeah,
you...
they just annoy me.
Exactly. But Argentina didn't do as well as...
No, they didn't.
Yeah, Messi just couldn't.
I was cheering for Argentina when they were playing, whoever they played. Because I think the Messi, Ronaldo, like, just leave Messi alone. Just let him do his thing. Like... That's the problem with sports is we're always comparing athletes.
Yeah, and that's a big thing. Messi, Ronaldo, sometimes Neymar gets thrown in there. And it's like, yeah, they're all great.
Yeah.
Who's the greatest?
I don't know. I'm not a soccer guy.
I'm not either.
I'll tell you what, though. When I was in England, so I was in England during the last World Cup.
In 2014?
Yeah, and they said that if you asked a British person, like a majority of them would said Ibrahimovic, the dude that played. He didn't play for Sweden this year. But he's Swedish.
Yeah, he's playing for like the LA Galaxy now.
Yeah, he's over here. But they would have said some guys would say him.
I mean, he's great. I've seen some of his highlights and stuff. I don't watch soccer that often,
right.
Unless it's the World Cup,
right?
Or unless I have tickets to go see Real Salt Lake or something. Soccer's not my biggest sport of choice,
right?
But World Cup time, it is so much fun.
It is,
and I was here in 2014 when the USA was in it. And the crossroads was probably 3 or 4 times more
really
packed.
That packed, huh?
No seating room, standing room only, all the way back. People were just crowded together.
Oh, my.
And
days.
Then I remember they scored. I have a video of it. I'll try to find it and maybe play the audio in this podcast. I posted a video of it on Facebook back in 2014. Because USA
crazy.
Scored a goal. I don't even think they won, but they scored and... It was nuts.
See, I remember, so on my mission, when they had the opening ceremony, they're called flat towers, and so just kind of our apartment complex, and we were like 4th or 5th floor, I can't remember. But anyways, I just remember the opening ceremony we're in bed, because over there it's nighttime, and so, because like, you know, all of our games are usually in the morning here, and so it's nighttime over there, and I still remember just... like hearing the people cheer and our building like shaking.
Oh my gosh.
Like people just
going crazy.
Yeah, going nuts for it. But England did not do good. And so it was really hard to try to talk to people. And when they did, I'm trying to think, they did score. I think it was they were playing against Uruguay. And I think Wayne Rooney had a header. And what were we doing? I was on exchange. And I remember I was in a certain area with a certain elder. And I just remember everybody went nuts. Like, they have, like, local pubs, all the bars. Like they have chairs outside. They roll out all the TVs. And the streets are just full. It was cool. It was a really cool experience.
That would be cool.
Yeah, it was nuts. Too bad they weren't good. This is my last thing I'll say, hopefully, about England. But they what's so funny about their fans and their commentators, they are brutal. Like in American sports, where we're kind of soft. Like we're like, oh, this team's, you know, we'll talk more about the team that won. Not that they'll be like, England was so bad, they were terrible. These guys should be disappointed when they come home. Like,
so when they get home, I mean, they're still there because they're playing for third place against Belgium on Saturday. But I mean, say they win third place, is that going to be good enough, or are the England fans going to?
I think they will briefly cover that they exceeded expectations, and I think the huge majority will be like, you blew
you
it.
You suck.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, we hate you.
Yeah, like that. The play that they scored, oh, that was so bad. I don't know if you saw it when Croatia scored. So bad. It was, yeah, frustrating.
It was exciting and amazing. Yeah. I wasn't cheering for anyone. I cheer for goals, so.
It was wild. And then, yeah, I don't know. But we're going to talk about who you think's going to win, right?
Yeah, so. Okay. The final four was, like we've been saying, England and Croatia. First of all, let me talk about Croatia real quick. I saw a stat from ESPN.
Second smallest country.
It's the second smallest country to ever make the final. And
since 1930.
Croatia had a 3% chance to win it all when they entered the World Cup.
So if you put money on them, do you know how much money you win?
A lot.
That's a lot of money.
And the funny thing is, I actually saw another video of some other guy. I don't know where he was from. He had an accent. I can't. You know, tell you from the accent, but he wasn't from the United States, and he came up with this way of, he said it's a foolproof way of betting on who's going to win. And he filmed this video before, I think it was at the last, when there was 8 teams left, and he basically did it like beer pong, where he set up, he had 8 cups, 8
no
red
way.
Solo cups, and on the bottom he wrote all the teams that were still in. And then he had 10 ping pong balls. He wrote down 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, all the way up to $10,000 on each ping pong ball. He put the ping pong balls in a bucket and kind of mixed them around, and he couldn't see, and he pulled one out, and it ended up being 3,000. So that was his bet. So he's going to put $3,000 on whatever team the ping pong ball landed in, the cup. Then he mixed up the cups. He had no idea which cup was where. And then he just kind of threw it from the end of the table. It went in Croatia.
And that's who he bet on.
And he bet on them. And now they're in, you know, in the final against France. And so now I'm like, hey, I want this guy to win a bunch of money.
Yeah.
Because no one, I mean, 3% is their chances when they entered. I want to see Croatia win. I don't know if they'll do it. France is really, really good.
Yeah. So France has, like, I know the whole French team just because I follow the Premier League. Yeah, they got a lot of good players.
They really do.
They have a lot.
I just remember one of my favorite of the French players was Griezmann.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the 2014 Cup, that was when Drake's hit song, Hotline Bling, was like huge.
Right.
He scored a goal and he did like the Hotline Bling
celebration
dance.
That's amazing.
And so once he did that, I was like, okay, he's legit. Like, I like this guy. He's a good guy.
And they've just judged his character completely.
Yeah, right.
From
right
that
away.
One dance. He's a great guy.
But yeah, they have him. They have Pogba. They have Mbappe,
mm-hmm.
who's what, the youngest? I think he's like
19.
The highest scoring teenager in World Cup history.
Yeah.
Because he has 3 goals in the World Cup and he's only 19 years old. He's fast.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah, he's quick, dude.
He can run faster than any man I've ever seen. Well, I've seen Usain Bolt, so maybe not.
You've seen him?
I mean, on TV.
Okay,
I've seen him in real life.
Okay, I was just double checking. I was like, "Whoa, you've seen lightning?"
No, I haven't. I mean, I have, but Mbappe is super fast. I think the France team is going to win.
Same.
I would love to see Croatia win.
Dude, Croatia's dirty. Like
Croatia has come back in the last 3 matches. They've come back from behind.
Every time they're down,
they come back.
Yeah,
and they've scored in extra time.
Yeah.
Or in the additional minutes. Or in a shootout.
And it was so frustrating to watch, dude. They kept wasting stoppage time from them.
Strategy, man. You gotta do that.
It makes me sick. Okay, I'm not a soccer guy, but I'm just like, oh my goodness, just stop.
You wouldn't think that if they weren't playing England.
No, that's the thing, is I thought about that. So I was like, does England do this a lot? I was trying to think back, and there was one play that Kane took a little bit to get up, and I was like, all right.
Yeah.
And that was against who'd they play before? Oh, Sweden, when they played Sweden. There was one or two of them.
I mean, it's just
but
strategy.
Shit, that one dude was ridiculous.
It's strategy.
English guys throwing him up.
Well, what I thought was interesting in the qualifying matches, Japan, I don't know if you saw this one or remember it.
Oh, Japan.
Holy cow. They just stalled for the whole entire second half.
Yeah.
It was like 1-0. And
then they went 2-0.
Yeah, and then I think what it was, I don't remember who they were playing, but what it was they had less yellow cards than one of the other teams in their group. And so because they had less yellow cards with the rule, they were able to advance as long as they had one goal.
Oh, you're talking about when they were in
scored in.
Oh, when they're in the
in the group round.
Group round.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they were in the group round. They were up like maybe 1-0. As long as the other team did not score, they were moving on.
It was Senegal.
And so they just stalled. And it was like the entire second half, them just kicking it back and forth. And it was like, oh my gosh, this is the longest game, the most boring game. But, I mean, it's strategy. They moved on.
Yeah, they did the same thing to Belgium. And they lost.
Yeah.
They're up 2-0.
I was going for Belgium against France, too.
Really?
In the semifinals.
See, my dad served his mission in Japan, and I remember I texted my dad. He doesn't care anything about soccer. So I was like, hey, Japan's up 2-0. And then literally as I sent that text, I was in class.
Oh, my goodness. I remember that game.
And then Belgium scored twice. Yeah, within like
5 minutes.
Yeah. And I texted my dad, and I said, never mind. I said, sorry.
And then they ended up winning.
And then Belgium. No, yeah, Belgium beat them.
Yeah, 3-2.
So I texted my dad. I said, all right, never mind.
That was probably the most exciting game, I think, that I watched.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
I would say mine was Russia. Oh, no, that's a lie. My most exciting was the penalty kicks for England and Colombia. It's Colombia. England-Colombia was the most exciting game for me.
Oh, yeah, because it was Croatia and Russia and penalty kicks.
Yeah, that was wild, too. But the England one, I almost had a heart attack. Pickford's the man, so he gets the one save. Yeah, that game, that was
intense.
That was exciting. That was.
But
like,
I think
I was going. Insane.
I liked the.
It came Belgium, down Japan to the last penalty kick. Like that's how important it was. My man Dyer just buried it. It was yeah. Anyways,
this is now the England.
I know. Sorry.
Football club.
Sorry, podcast. I mean let's talk.
No,
about
it's all good. So you think France is going to win?
I do. I think France is going to win.
I hope
the way
Croatia
that France plays
wins.
Is.
They're really good.
They are. I felt like they're. I'm not a soccer analyst, so I just don't want to sound like an idiot when I say stuff. But when I watch France play, I feel like they put a lot of pressure up front, and it's fun to watch. And like we were talking about how fast, you know, their strikers
really
and their
fast.
Wings are. I just feel like when they counter, it's just oh, I just feel like it's a foot race, and they're just out in front.
So, like we talked about, Croatia has come from behind. I hope that they come from behind again, tie it up, it goes into extra time, and goes into penalty kicks. That would be amazing. But we'll see what happens. Now, I wanted England and Belgium, and I was wrong. I was like, England and Belgium is going to win, but I was completely wrong, 100% wrong. But we still get to watch them play for third place.
We should do a statistic on our sports guessing.
We should go back and listen, yeah. I've been wrong probably more often.
Yeah,
than,
I think we're – for myself, I'm probably about 0 for – except for March Madness. But other than that, everything else.
Yeah, well, I still beat you at March Madness.
You did.
So if it's between you and I.
You've got me barely. That's right. I forgot.
So we are going to talk to Johan Sanchez next. He used to work here at the radio station, and he graduated last year. He took a trip to Russia to go to the games because he's from Peru, and this is the first time Peru has qualified in like 25 years or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So he was way excited to go. He went to all the Peru matches. So we're going to get him on the phone right now. So, Johan, thanks so much for joining us. We want to hear the whole story from when you decided you wanted to go to buying tickets to everything. So tell me about how you ended up going to Russia for the World Cup.
Oh, okay. As you guys know, I'm actually from Peru. So, Peru is pretty, at least in Peru, everyone cares about soccer. That's like our main sport, right? Even though like we haven't done well for like the past years, 30 or something years, we haven't been to a World Cup. But this year, at least for this like 2 or 3 years, our team has been doing really well. So they were able to make it to Russia, right? And we were like, everyone back home was super excited. And I think when I went to Russia, also like many Peruvians, and I think that's part of the reason is because like our team hasn't been there in like 36 years at least before this World Cup, of course. So everyone like got super excited. my cousin and I were making plans because Peru had to go to like a playoff game against New Zealand back in November from 2017. And so they had to play two games, right? If they got like a couple of good results against New Zealand, they will be able to make it in like the last spot in South America. So that was back in November. And after they beat New Zealand like 1-0, the tickets, like the next day, FIFA made tickets available for like all the games. Because like it was, people will be able to know who was going to play the World Cup and like all the teams were viewable. Like, you could tell like, oh, like Peru is now in like the 32 teams who are playing in the World Cup. So let's release the tickets, right? That's what FIFA does. Like as soon as they get the latest team into the World Cup from the 32, they release tickets the next day. So my cousin and I were making plans like November of last year. And it's kind of hard, at least for Russia. It was kind of interesting because at the beginning we were super excited, of course, in making plans to go to the World Cup. But like the cities that Russia picked, they're like way apart from at least if you go to Moscow, right? Because that's like their biggest city. And at least I went to a couple of games, like the opening game. It was Russia against Saudi Arabia, and they played that in Moscow. So like transportation wasn't a big deal. But then Peru's first game was in this town called Sananx, and it was really hard to get there, at least from like before when we were making plans last year, because Sananx is like 10 hours far from Moscow by train, and then by plane it's like a couple of hours. But there were like limited tickets if you wanted to take the train to go to Sananx, and then like finding housing was hard. Housing was hard as well, because there were like so many people. When I got to Sananx, there were like maybe just like for people from Peru, there were what, like maybe like 50,000 people in Sananx, and only like 20,000 people living in that town. It's not even like really big. So yeah, we made plans back in November. My cousin then had to like change his plans because of work, he wasn't going to be able to make it. So I had to, and then he like returned the tickets to FIFA because we were thinking, yeah, like that's pretty hard. Like Russia's like super hard. Like we don't know the language and sounds kind of dangerous because that's the idea that everyone has about Russia. But then I talked to this other friend just like a few weeks before the World Cup started, and he had one extra ticket. So I just bought him like the ticket for like a super cheap price. And yeah, I made my plans there. So it was kind of crazy because I've always wanted to go to the World Cup. I thought like this was the time, but then my cousin and I changed our minds. We're like, oh, this is not the time. And then I'm like, oh, my friend's talking to me, so this is the time to go to the World Cup. So it was fun. I don't know, like the environment, it's huge. Everyone from like every, like, you know, like all the teams involved. I even met like people who like whose team like didn't even make it, like people from Bolivia, people from like other teams from Africa. Like their teams didn't even make it to the World Cup, but they still like decided to go. I saw a few people from like the US as well, and everyone's like super crazy. Everyone is at least in Russia in that time, everyone was like super excited. There were like parties everywhere. They had like this little street near downtown where there's like, you know, like different clubs, restaurants and bars like open all day, and that street was full like all day every day because like there were so many fans singing and like getting to know each other. They would just like take pictures with random people. I was with my group of friends and we were with like, you know, like a Peru jerseys and like some decorations like the flags and stuff, and like locals will come and just like ask for pictures because like it's a different environment. It's a party like all day for a month every day.
So I saw that you posted on Facebook a video of you, and you were there at one of the arenas, but it looked like you were the only person there. Were you just early, or what happened? It looked like you were in like a suite or something, like some kind of box.
Well, they opened the gates like 2 hours before. My friend and I, we had like this special tickets where they will give us like some snacks before the game and like a meal in between, and then like some, you know, like sodas or drinks or whatever you want to have, like unlimited. So that's why we decided to like go early to Peru's game, because we had those tickets. But no, man, like they opened the gate. There's like a few people, but you know, like at the like the minutes of either at the end, it was full. I don't know. I can't remember for like the opening game, because I went to that game too. I mean, it was. I think it was like the stadium was pretty full. For Peru's game, the stadium was able to host like around 44,000 people. I think that's the limit. And then at the end, you know, like they tell you how many people attended the game, and they were like around 40,000, and it was between Peru and Denmark. And Denmark had maybe 2,000 or 3,000 people, and the rest were Peruvians. And I don't know. I felt like in this Sarangs where Peru was gonna play, I felt like many Peruvians. I thought I was in Peru for a while, and it was a party. And yeah, like I have a few videos of like people singing, getting crazy, and the environment is definitely different.
So how do you feel that Peru did? We watched the games. If you watched Peru, they didn't end up going too far. But for you, since this is the first time that Peru's gone to the World Cup in many years, how do you think they did?
Oh, I mean, at least for me, like I've seen Peru playing, ever since I can remember. And before, like back in the 80s, they were a good team, and people were always like super excited about our national, like our soccer national team, because like we were getting good results. Like in the 80s, that was the last time we went to the World Cup as well in Spain. But I was born in 90, so ever since like I was born, people were like super negative about the national team with like problems and like, you know, like just soccer in general in Peru. So people wouldn't get too excited, but just like 2 years ago, for some reason, like magic happened, I guess. I mean, that's part of like the work they do, right? Like the professionals and like the coaches and stuff. They were getting good results. They were getting the results, but like other results had to happen, like between the other teams playing. And like we were getting like some good results from other games as well. So that was key in Peru's qualification. Now everyone's super excited because like we made it to the World Cup, and that's a huge step. So everyone is super excited, like the fans, at least like the people that I met there. They were we did well in the World Cup, but I'm not gonna deny that. We were unlucky, I think, which is part of like sports as well. You have to be lucky sometimes. The next World Cup is in 2022, and people were like talking about that already. Like, they're like, you know, like, oh, where's Qatar? Like, what do I need to go to Qatar and stuff like that? And that's part of like the excitement of at least in Peru, because like everyone's like super crazy about soccer. So we were like super excited about our team making it to the World Cup. And I hope like that continues, right? Because I've been there. This was my first time. And I don't feel like too excited about Qatar, because it's a different country, and like there's like some problems going on as well in that country. I mean, like people who have the chance to go to the World Cup, man, that's one of the things you have to do in your life.
So you don't think you're going to go in 2022, but in 2026, it's going to be here in the U.S. Do you think you'll try to be around for that one?
Oh yeah, for sure. that's my plan. I'll skip 2022 to go to 2026. I think at least in Russia, I noticed also that there were some problems with like people getting tickets. Some people got like too many tickets, so at the end of the game, like before even like an hour or two before the game, you could see like people outside of the stadiums like selling their tickets for like, you know, like a cheap deal, because they didn't want to lose all of their money. In my opinion, I think that's going to be different when it is here in the U.S., because there's going to be like 48 teams, if I'm not mistaken. So that's, they're playing with 32 right now, but then they're going to like expand that. And I think like tickets are going to like sold out, because there's like so many people here in the U.S. like interested in soccer, and like, you know, people coming from abroad from like different countries, that's gonna be a huge issue as well. I mean, it's way in advance, right? This is what I'm talking, it's like what, like 8 years from now. But at least from Russia, I noticed like that was the issue with the tickets. But I feel like it's gonna be harder to like find tickets to games on for 2026. It's basically a lottery, so when you go to the FIFA website, to get tickets, you have to like wait in line, and then like it's on like first come first serve basis. So that's how they do it.
Well, we'll have to keep an eye out to when those go on sale or whenever the lottery starts, because I definitely want to. I want to go.
Yeah, you want to get in like as soon as they release the tickets. So that's fun. That's part of the like the excitement, I guess. Even if you can't, you might be lucky and like find some tickets like before the game. But I don't know how. I mean, it's. I think it's like more people have access to, like, it's easier to come here to the U.S., right? Because like most people, like, well, they have friends or like family, or like it's easier in like transportation stuff. Like Russia is kind of different because not like the language is even like harder to get it in. So I feel like that's how the environment is. I mean, it's going to be a great environment. I'm just saying like the tickets might be, you just have to like get them as soon as they go out.
Plus, it's in 8 years, and I have no idea where I'm going to be in 8 years, so we'll see what happens anyway. So what do you think? I mean, we have France and Croatia in the final. Who are you going to be backing, and what do you think is going to happen?
I think Croatia has been doing great so far. They've played like more minutes than France, of course, because they had to go to like overtime for a couple of games, and that's like 120 minutes per game. This last one, they play well against England. They had to come back from a 1-0 down. But I think France overall has more experience. They have players in like, you know, like the big leagues in Spain or England, and Italy as well. And that's like, I think in France at least they have like a more variety of players from where they can choose from. And they've been playing really well. They haven't been like super. You know, like, oh man, like France is playing like so great. I enjoy watching France playing. At least that's not my case. But when they have to like get the job done, they go and do it. Against Argentina, for example, where Messi plays, they were losing like they were winning, but then at some point they were like 2-1 down, and they came back. So they made a they were 4-2 before in like the 80th minute, and then like Argentina scored, but that didn't even matter. France destroyed them, so that tells you about the quality of that team. So I think there's like a 60% chance France is gonna win the World Cup. And yeah, they have good talented players. Like if you follow the big leagues, you'll see like a few familiar names from their in their squad.
Yeah, I think you were still working here when Pogba got his own emoji. I think we were working together when we heard the news that he got his own emoji.
Yeah, he's a good player. He played well against Belgium, and Belgium is a good team as well. So I think I'm going to go for France because, like, in their brackets, they play against really good teams like Argentina, Uruguay, now Belgium. And then Croatia didn't play against, like, really good teams. They were good still, but not, like, on, like, that level, right? With, like, history and, like more talented players, of course. So I'm gonna go for France because just because like they know how to get the job done.
Well, we were talking earlier, and we think that France is gonna win as well, but it would be amazing to see Croatia win. So we'll have to see happens.
It's good for a change to have like someone new like win it, and there's like that that environment of like, you know, you can accomplish anything even if you're not like the favorite. So. Yeah, as long as we have a good game, I think everyone's gonna be fine with it. Except for like people from France or Croatia, they want their teams to win.
Exactly.
Like neutrals, we want a good game.
Yep, I'm just cheering for goals. As long as there's goals and maybe a shootout in the end, that would be great.
Yeah, when I went to like the Russia and Saudi Arabia, that was my case as well. Cause, I mean, I was in Russia, and I was like, hopefully they win. But as long as there's a good game and like they're scoring goals, then that's fine. And then what, like Russia won like 5-0 or something? So
yeah, they had five goals in the opening game. That was amazing.
That was exciting. That's something interesting as well, because from what I noticed when I went to Russia, most people, like locals, they're not interested a lot in soccer. We will be in the taxi with my friends and we will just chat, right? I mean, with our limited vocabulary with the drivers, and they're like, no, like, I don't like soccer. I like, I don't know, Formula One better. Like, I like hockey better. Hockey is big in Russia. So, or they just wouldn't like follow any sports. So that was something interesting. So the environment was mainly made by like people from like other parts of the world coming to Russia. Locals were not interested at the beginning, but then I feel like as their team made it farther in the tournament, they got more into that environment, right? I'm going to cheer for my team. They resonated to what, like the quarterfinals, if I'm not wrong. So that helped with the environment, of course.
Well, it sounds like you had a great time. I'm definitely jealous that you got to go, but I'm glad that you made it back safe and that you had a good time. So hopefully in 2026, if we're near each other, maybe we can go catch a match together. That'd be great. But hey, thanks for letting us chat.
No, thanks for inviting me. Yeah, I mean, everyone who's interested in soccer, my recommendation is that they have to put the going to the World Cup in their bucket list, because the environment and everything there is different. And you'll have a great time, 100%. I'm pretty sure of that.
That was Johan Sanchez. He was our special guest for this episode. He used to work here at BYU Idaho Radio. He graduated, and as you heard, had an exciting trip in Russia. I can't even imagine going.
Nope, I can't.
It would be so much fun.
My favorite thing is have you looked up videos of like the countries when they celebrate?
Oh,
that's,
yeah.
That's my favorite thing in the world, is to see countries just go nuts. So that could have been us. But.
Well, we didn't even talk about it. When Mexico beat Germany.
Oh, and they broke the decibels, the sound decibels.
Yeah, there was like an earthquake.
Yeah, literally there was an earthquake in Mexico.
People were like, there's an earthquake in Mexico. And they're like, oh, wait, no, Mexico just scored a goal in the World Cup. And people were jumping up and down and screaming so loud.
And they're celebrating.
Measured on the Richter
scale.
That's
fun stuff, man. That's
crazy.
That could have been us.
If USA could qualify.
Still salt in the wound.
So the other thing that we could talk about briefly, USA, Canada, and Mexico won the bid for the 2026 World Cup. So it's coming here.
It's coming home.
I looked.
Too soon.
Yeah. You
sorry.
England fans.
Lasting. Sorry, that was my last one.
So yeah, it's coming here in 2026. You going to go?
Am I going to go?
Yeah.
Probably not. Dude. 2026? What is that? Hold on. Let me think. Where are we at now? 2018? So 8 years?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe. That'd be fun.
What are you going to be doing?
I don't know.
Me either. I don't know what I'll be doing. Who knows? But hopefully I'm near one of the arenas where they're playing, get a ticket, and go. I don't even know how much tickets are. We should have asked Johan. But I want to go. Because I talked to my wife about it, and she loves soccer. She played soccer in high school.
Oh, cool.
She's like, yeah, let's go. So we'll start saving up now, and maybe we'll be able to afford it, depending on how much it costs.
Right.
But that'll be exciting, because I think there's going to be 80 games, because they're increasing the field, I think. So there's going to be 80 games, if I read it correctly. I could be, you know, throwing out nonsense. Going to be 80 games, and I think 60 of them are going to be in the United States. And then 10 in Canada and 10 in Mexico? That might be wrong. I'll have to double check that. All right. Well, you've been listening to The Spot, the World Cup edition. Let us know who you think's going to win. You can tweet at us or at BYU Idaho Radio. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. And let us know who you think's going to win, France or Croatia. France is the big time team here. Croatia is the big underdog. But thanks for tuning in. I'm David Payne.
I'm JD Packer.
And you've been listening to The Spot.
You've been listening to The Spot, a production of BYU Idaho Radio. Today's hosts were David Payne, JD Packer, and special guest Johan Sanchez. The views and opinions of this podcast are not that of BYU Idaho Radio or the university, and are solely the opinions of the hosts. This episode was edited by David Payne. Producers were the hosts, with supervision by Brandon Isle. Our theme music is Running by DJ Quads. To listen to more episodes of The Spot, like and follow us on social media, or visit our website, BYUIdahoRadio.org, and click Podcasts. Be sure to subscribe to The Spot on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or wherever you get your podcasts.